The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. The third hour has arrived on a Friday, and we are really looking forward to our next conversation. Sam Pittman joining us, the head coach at the University of Arkansas, off an amazing season, including a huge win over Penn State. I was just watching the replay earlier today, and it looked more impressive the second time. Coach, good afternoon. Congratulations.
Hey, Paul. It's good to see you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I watched it 2 weeks ago, but that was a really dominating win, and I know it had to, just finish the season on an incredible note. It was already pretty amazing.
It really did. You know, I'm so happy that we were able to play. You know, last year we got it 2 days away from the Texas Bowl, and unfortunately we weren't able to play, and then COVID really hit hard in the bowl games about the time that we arrived in Tampa. And I give Coach Franklin a lot of credit for keeping his kids available and playing the game. I couldn't imagine us not being able to play 2 years in a row. And our kids started out slow, Paul, but we certainly played a heck of a second half and ended it the right way and took a knee there at the end and went to celebrating. It was a lot of fun. It was a great year for us.
I want you to talk about that because we've watched you since you arrived, and I always felt like I'm always amazed when I look back on last year and see the one loss record because it just seems so much better. And I think the payoff came this year. How would you characterize these 2 years?
Been the best time of my life, to be honest with you. Paul, I spent 30 some years as an assistant, and there was so much pressure on me to please the head coach. I wanted the head coach to think I was the best recruiter, the most loyal person, and the best football coach on his staff. And I worked very hard to do that. I don't know if I got it accomplished, but I did. That pressure has been off of me. And now it's just I'm able to run a program just like I want to. I've got great assistant coaches, and it really has. It's been the best time of my life. And to go and be relevant, to finish third in the West is a good accomplishment for our program, and hopefully it's a building block for the University of Arkansas.
I want to come back to what you said, but I do want to get your thoughts on something else. You talked about being an assistant, and, of course, you came to Arkansas from Georgia. And I know you played a role over there in helping shape that program. When we were in Athens this year, I think I ran into five different people that claimed to live on your block and wanted to say hello to you. What did you think Monday night watching that game?
Well, I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you I was rooting for the Georgia Bulldogs. I had kids there that played, and I don't think Alabama fans would take offense to that. I mean,
I don't know, Coach. I don't know. They're taking offense to pretty much everything this week, so beware.
Well, I didn't mean it as being offensive. You know, I recruited a bunch of those kids, and certainly was proud of the kids and proud, you know, Kirby. I worked for Kirby, and I was proud of the University of Georgia.
No, I thought you got out of that with quite a bit of diplomacy, and we appreciate it. But I want to go back to Arkansas because that's where the interest is here. In terms of ending the season like that, how does that and where does that propel your program to finishing recruiting, spring ball, next year, or all of the above?
Well, I think your program has a lot to do with who's playing quarterback, you know. So we have KJ Jefferson back. That's going to help us with our confidence all over on offense. Recruiting has gone well. Our next year's class is going very well. We're about finished. We have a few kids that left, a few scholarships left. But it's all been going very well. I think, you know, we have more pieces on defense that we need to be concerned about. offensively. Yes, certainly lost Burks, who was phenomenal player. But other than that, I think we would have a possibility of having a really good football team again, as long as we'll work like we've been working before.
Coach, just from a personal standpoint, I really like what you said a minute ago, and I feel like we've gotten to know you moderately well over these couple of years. And it is so interesting from our standpoint, and I think for the fan standpoint, to watch you enjoy it. Because so often coaches appear to be joyless winners. It's so serious, and there is a lot at stake. But I want you to talk about just what you said a minute ago. I mean, rarely do you hear someone at your point in life talk about, this has been the best time in my life. But expound on that for a second, because that's so cool.
Well, I think a little bit, Paul, is we can be so concerned about what people think of us. And, you know, I just want to be me. You know, people were a little bit concerned whenever I brought Larry the bowling ball out and we bowled after our sixth win. I was happy about it. Our kids were happy about it. I didn't say that's the goal, but if we're going to accomplish one of our goals, we're going to celebrate it. I think you should, because if you don't, life will pass you by and you'll be 6 foot under and hadn't had many great times in your life. We're going to set goals, and if we accomplish them, we didn't say that was the end of it, but we're going to have fun doing it. I think if you with a group of people, whether it be in the business world or whether it be on a football team, and you accomplish something, you should be happy, because I'll tell you this, losing takes about 3 wins out of your life. It just does. It's just no fun. But winning, you should celebrate it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm 60 now, and I'm just now, over the last few years, learning how to celebrate a win. Because before it was, well, you're supposed to do it. Well, so is the other team. They're supposed to win too. So if you're able to win, I think you ought to celebrate it. And we certainly do that. And I want our kids to feel like winning is celebrated. And so there, we're going to turn the damn jukebox on and call the hogs and have a good time.
Coach, it is interesting because very few, and you've alluded to this already throughout conversations, that very few people get an opportunity at your point and your age. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Let's just cut right to the chase. And to see you make the most of it, I'll say this, even if you had failed, I think a lot of us would have still felt great that you would have the opportunity, but you're not exactly failing. I mean, you're shattering expectations and embracing it, and I'm sure you're inspiring a lot of other people around not only Arkansas, but around the country.
I hope so. You know, I think there's a lot of folks out there that can do good jobs that just don't get their opportunity. I will say this, don't give up on that, because, you know, I was 58 before I got mine. But I hope that I am inspiring to some people, because, you know, you don't have to walk around and be, you know, super political all the time. There's a time for that. And then there's a time to be you. And I've said this before. I don't know if we're going how much success we're going to have or not, but I am doing it exactly like I want to, knowing that this is my last job, and I owe it to the state of Arkansas, and I owe it to the university to give everything I have. And the only way you can do that, you have to be yourself, and I'm comfortable with who I am.
After the season, you always hear people say, well, I've heard it this week after Monday night in Indianapolis, and you know, are you going to take some downtime? Coaches don't have much downtime. How do you manage that within the framework of the demands of your job? Because you do have to turn off the lights and the noise and get away from it, don't you?
Yeah, well, you have to, and then you have to attack problems. I mean, if I have a problem, I'm trying to fix it as fast as I possibly can. Because it just wastes other minutes of your life and of your day. I enjoy going down to the lake in hot springs. The problem is, and it's not a problem, it's recruiting is all the time. And until we get a handle on the portal, in other words, until we put time limits on it, whether it may be the portal's dead from, let's say, June 1 to the end of your last season, then open it up for 6 weeks, and then it goes dead again until possibly April 15th or somewhere in there. Until we do that, it's going to be very tough to have any downtime, have any roster management. And I think the NCAA will end up doing something like that shortly. But right now with the portal, it makes it very, very hectic to have any downtime.
How complex is it recruiting, whether it's in the portal, your own players, or in high schools, dealing with all the things that are at least purported to be going on? I don't know if they're going on. I'm sure you hear a lot more than we do. How tough is that?
Very. I mean, of course, you had to separate the BS from the truth, you know, whatever that may be. But it's very, you know, we're supposed to not even mention what we can do for someone in the NIL. And if that does get mentioned, I'm not saying it is, but if it does, it makes it very difficult on somebody else, you know, and it's basically free agency out there. And until we get a little bit of a handle on time-wise of portals, we're going to hurt high school recruiting. And you know, it's going to be massive free agency. And I think those are some of the thoughts that we're having in the NCAA, AFCA, Board of Trustees, some things that we need to get a little bit better handle on this. Allowing kids to earn money that they deserve. And there's a fine line in all of that, I think, Paul.
Coach, it's so great to see you. Congratulations, everyone. I know you're supposed to root against other teams when you're not one of them, but I hear more and more fans, callers, just have embraced what you're doing, and I hope you appreciate it. You have really become a symbol for a lot of folks out there who love college football.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that very much, and I appreciate you allowing me to come on your show, and I mean that.
It is always great to see you. Coach Sam Pittman joining us this afternoon from Arkansas, and we are heading to the break. I mean, if you don't like this guy, you're crazy. I mean, he's just so incredible to watch and listen to. We are coming back with your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome all of you back. What a great conversation with Sam Pittman. It's been a really interesting show talking about the CFP mess today with Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner, pretty much killing any hope of expansion until the contract runs out in 3 years. We are going to get back to the phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Bobby is in Colorado. Hello, Bobby. Good afternoon.
Paul, how are you, sir?
We are well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having Coach Pittman on. I never really followed him, but he's a class act. Speaking of class, a lot of the Alabama fans, and I'm one of them, just were not gracious losers this week, and Coach Bryan, Coach Clem Grisker, and Sam Bailey would be the first to say you have to win with dignity and also lose in dignity. And Georgia was the better team, and they beat Alabama fair and square. And that's it in a nutshell. And you just have to give the other team credit for an outstanding victory. And old Walter Red Barber would say, win or lose, the sun comes up the next morning and the azaleas will always bloom in Tallahassee. But I just wanted to, and you're very gracious. I listened to you, and the best part of the show is to listen. You're really gracious, and you try to edify some folks that won't give the other team the respect that they deserve. And I know you're having a good day because you have your gray flannel suit on.
Well, thank you very much, Bobby. I appreciate the kind words, and you take care of yourself, and have a great weekend. Kathy is up next. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I have a PSA announcement for all your callers.
Sure.
We all got to be right with the good Lord because Legend called and apologized. Hell must have been freezing over. Been watching the
Kathy, I kept checking the ticker to see if the rapture had occurred. I'm not sure because that was a pretty extraordinary apology from the Legend. One that
and
we did not necessarily require,
it.
But we were glad to get.
Well, me too. I appreciate it because you did not deserve it, but you did deserve the apology. And, you know, he's not going to take away our win. And I know he's a sore loser. I've been there many times with them. But tomorrow we're going to have our parade and our celebration, and we earned it. And I appreciate it, and you have a great weekend.
Thank you very, very much. You take care of yourself. And Jimmy is in Dallas. Hello, Jimmy. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for taking me in. Happy Friday, Paul.
Hi there.
I just wanted to say, first I wanted to say something to the Alabama fans. I watch your show a lot. In fact, this is the second time I've called. I've actually met you down in Jacksonville in 2019. And you know, I watched for just a few minutes on Tuesday, and when I put it on, the first person I saw was Legend. And you had the phone battle with him and somebody else, I don't remember who, and he was calling him names and telling him to kiss his ring. Well, I just turned it off. I didn't need to watch that. So I figured, okay, well, I'm a long time, I've been watching the show for a long time, and I decided, okay, I'm going to watch it again today. So I watched it today, and it was going pretty well. The first caller I saw was Diane talking about the injuries. Well, I just want to point this out to Alabama fans, and then I'll ask you the question I have to ask you, if you'll bear with me. I hope Alabama understands that the quarterback that they played Monday night was the third-string quarterback at the beginning of the season. And that they saw very little of George Pickens, who was one of our number one receivers, and they saw nothing of Dominic Blaylock, who was our other number one receiver. We basically had tight ends that took over that role. Now, granted, we did have a great defense, and they played the game they should have played, but they didn't play in the SEC championship, and that's why we lost that game. But I say that out of all due respect for Nick Saban. I think Coach Saban is a genius. I think he's probably the best college football coach to ever coach the game. And I'm a huge admirer of him, especially his interviews with the press, which I'm sure you appreciate. But now I have a question for you, because, I did meet you in 2019 in Jacksonville, Florida, at the Georgia-Florida game. You were very, very gracious, very down-to-earth, spoke to me and my wife. My wife was able to meet Tim Tebow that day, and although she's not a Gator fan, she loves Tim Tebow. And I was able to spend a few quality minutes with Marcus Spears talking to him. But the question I have for you is that all this year, when people, when my friends, my Georgia, my friends and the Georgia fans start to say anything bad about you, I would always say to them, look, the guy has been saying all year long that Georgia is the team to beat, the team to beat, over and over again. But, Paul, you bailed on me way too quick after that national, after that Southeast Conference Championship game. I mean, we have one bad game, and you dropped out on me. What happened?
Well, Jimmy, I think I appreciate all the nice things you said. It's a natural reaction, and you start to overthink these things, and you begin to wonder. And I think this is where we give Nick Saban too much credit. He is everything you've said he is, and we all know that. But it's where we make him the be-all, end-all, and he cannot change the outcome of a game. And in this case, Georgia was the better team, and they proved it, and it was just a matter of believing whether they could do it or not. And I think a lot of people fell into that trap. Thank you for the call. Steve is up next in Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Paul, thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'd like to give a big shout-out to my brother-in-law, Stuart Jackson, in Thomasville, Georgia. Stuart's suffering with MS, but he's a huge Dawg fan. He's a huge Feinbaum fan. And I know the entire Jackson family in South Georgia are still celebrating the Dawg's victory.
Well, first of all, I'm so glad you said his name was Stuart, right? I'm so glad that that he was able to enjoy that victory, and certainly we wish only the best for him as he continues his battle.
And thank you for everything that you do for all people like that. That you know, they enjoy their time from 2 to 6 or 3 to 7 to. Such an outlet for people like that, and you do a great job that way.
Well, thank you, Steve. I'm always amazed, and one thing that has never happened in this position is for me to fail to be moved by a story like you referenced about Stuart or others that have called in. We had a man call in earlier, Georgia fan who talked about losing his leg, but he still had still has a great zest for life, and I'm so glad that those stories are shared, because I think they affect a lot of people. I know we don't think about that, but there are a lot of people who are struggling right now, and I think it helps when they hear something like you just said, or like he said, or others have said before.
One quick thing before you go to break. I know you're headed there, but I want to talk about Commissioner Sankey and Sam Pittman. Paul, do you think that Commissioner Sankey might have overplayed his hand with the expansion, and then some of the blowback that we're starting to see now, and that's what's going to ultimately squash the playoff expansion? And, you know, there's a lot of powerful people out there and a lot of divided interest. And maybe he didn't read the tea leaves as well as maybe he thought.
Well, let me say this about Greg Sankey's role in the expansion of the playoff. And stop me if you've heard this before. A group of the presidents of the College Football Playoff Management Committee appointed a committee of which he was a member, along with Jack Swarbrick, Craig Thompson, a commissioner out west, and Bob Bowlesby. And they were tasked 2 years ago to find a solution to the current situation. He worked as one of those four members. They came up with an idea. They presented it. And it was endorsed and embraced by nearly everyone. Now stop. Let me freeze frame right there. It was so far along that the CFP director, Bill Hancock, went ahead and went public with it. It was going to come out, and everyone in college athletics thought it was a really good idea. They had a few tweaks they wanted to make, and it was going to be enacted possibly as early as 2 years from now. So you move from there to the next stage. And I know some of you have heard all this before, but it's important to understand. Texas and Oklahoma call Greg Sankey. They say, we want to be in your league. He talks to his presidents or a group of them and says, okay, we'll make it happen, knowing very well that if he had said no, they were going either to the Big Ten, the Pac-12, or the ACC. What I think is remarkable has been the reaction from everyone else. And I'm not just saying this because I have great admiration for Greg Sankey. I don't know what else he could have done. I do not know, based on the timeline of the events. Thanks for the call. We do have to go to a break. We are coming back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back. Final 90 minutes of our program. We've talked a lot about Georgia and Alabama this week, and we wanted to go back to Alabama and just get a little bit of a read on where things are, not only from a player management standpoint, but coaching situation. Aaron Suttles covers the Tide for The Athletic. Aaron, thanks for the time. Great to have you on. It's been quite a week in Tuscaloosa since Indianapolis. Give us the lay of the land on where things are right now.
Yes, as you mentioned, a rapidly changing roster as we speak. I'm sure since I've been on hold, there's been another Alabama player that's either opted for the portal or opted back in. It seems it's been a busy couple of days, but you know, I think that's just the reality of college football now. And when you recruit like Alabama, when you recruit like Georgia and other places that have really top tier talent that don't want to stick around and wait their turn, or maybe have decided that particular program's not for them, they have options, and a lot of players are exercising those options, and good for them. But you know, I don't worry about Alabama because I know that the recruiting that Nick Saban does isn't just limited to high school guys. Not that Alabama is tampering, but if a young man is on another roster and Alabama's got a position and there's a, you know, that player reaches out, puts himself in the portal, then Alabama's going to be pretty good there too. But it's just a wild time in college football because all the rosters from one year to the next can swing so rapidly now.
I know it had to be good news, Henry Toto coming back, but Bolden's out, Mechie on top of Williams, which we already knew about. That was a pretty big issue in the game on Monday night. What did Alabama get in on the first signing day, and what are they looking for?
Yeah, if you look at the top four pass catchers for this past season, they're all gone from Alabama going forward. And you know, what it looks like is a very young room, and you know, you got Trayshawn Holden, who got a lot of experience this year. Ajay Hall toward the end of the year was a guy who, you know, actually dropped a big play for Alabama in the national championship game. But he also made some catches too, so I think he's got some experience. And then, you know, I just don't put it past Alabama. I know that Nick Saban knows what his roster holds, and look what they did last year. No one was expecting them to add a wide receiver, and they go out and get Jameson Williams. So I would expect they'll be combing, you know, players in the portal to see if there's a wide receiver that puts his name in and Alabama gets involved.
Let me ask you about the quarterback position. We know how good it is next year. That's obvious. But, you know, we saw Paul Tyson leave. I know Alabama still has players in that position. Assess what's after Bryce Young.
After Bryce Young, you got Jalen Milroe, who was a true freshman this season, who was basically just learning, getting experience, learning the playbook. Extremely athletic guy, Paul, maybe one of the most athletic guys on the field. And I was quite frankly surprised that Alabama didn't use him for short yardage situation, just because he's such a big guy for a quarterback and very athletic. I thought they might have some packages because Bryce Young is not the biggest guy. So when it was an obvious short yardage, quarterback sneak, you're not going to run Bryce Young a lot of those times. So I was surprised that they didn't use Jalen Milroe in those situations. I suspect he'll have some experience going forward with that. And then Ty Simpson was a young man from Tennessee. He came in. He's already enrolled at Alabama. He actually was practicing, before they left to go to the national championship game in Indianapolis. So he's getting some experience and be ready to go for spring practice. But that's the reality of the situation. They got three scholarship quarterbacks, and that's what they had this past year. And, we all had a little worry because of Bryce's size, but it worked out.
Yeah, and it's one of those years when everything went well from a quarterback standpoint, that Bryce Young went coast to coast, and it paid huge dividends. Let's talk about Nick Saban, always one of our favorite subjects, Aaron. he did what he always does. He handled the moment in spite of the outcome. We start to hear his age mentioned more maybe than I have heard his age mentioned, but there's a reason for that. Just your takeaway from observing Nick Saban this year and especially this week.
I remember months ago, Paul was on your show, and I think I said verbatim, I think this team's driving Nick Saban crazy. And at the time, it was pretty early in the season, and he just could not get them to be as consistent as he liked. But then he changed. I mean, he sort of changed his game up. And we always credit Nick Saban for evolving, and that's generally the way he's recruited and had to recruit a different style athlete when the hurry-up, no-huddle, the way he handled the hurry-up, no-huddle. I mean, we've credited him for evolving, but he actually evolves his style too, and he did it with this team because he knows he couldn't have coached this team the way he coached prior teams. They weren't mentally as tough, and he needed to give them some confidence. So chewing them out at every opportunity was never going to work. So I give him a lot of credit. I think he was surprised that this team got as far as it did, just because of the issues that it had, and it did so because it arguably has the two best players in college football in Bryce Young and Will Anderson, and they became tremendous leaders. But I thought it was a heck of a coaching job by Nick Saban. I know some people are going to get on him, but to get that team in position to play for a national championship and actually have a lead in the fourth quarter with that team, and there's some good players on the team, don't get me wrong, but in terms of being a team and all the intangibles, this team just didn't have. They didn't have this like other teams had. I was quite frankly impressed with what he did.
What is his coaching staff going to look like in a few weeks? There's a lot of speculation about O'Brien, Marone, Golding. Not unusual, but still, what's your best guess?
Yeah, I think, I don't think Doug Marone will be part of the program going forward. I think he'll explore some other opportunities. I think Bill O'Brien's got some opportunities if he wants to go back to the NFL, whether that be head coaching or even an offensive coordinator. So I wouldn't be surprised if either of those positions opened up. Jay Valai, the cornerback coach, he's already gone to Oklahoma. Hey, just going to throw this out there. The entire New York Giants coach staff just got let go. And go do the research on how many former Alabama guys are on that staff, including Burton Burns and Jeremy Pruitt. Now, Jeremy Pruitt's an interesting study because, he's got the stuff with Tennessee that's still all up in the air. But I think it's another year. I won't say it's been as heavy. It will be as heavy turnover as prior years, but it looks like that constant churn of coaches is going to continue again.
And yeah, certainly there are connections to Judge. I am curious about Jeremy Pruitt, though, and none of us may know the answer to this, Aaron. Is he eligible to coach right now at a school?
As far as I'm, in talking to people, he's not been charged with anything from an NCAA compliance standpoint. There's no show cause. So there's nothing preventing Alabama from hiring him. Now, you and I both know that the way that the league sort of works is, especially in situations that involve two programs, one coach trying to go to another, is you almost have to have the godfather's blessing, which would be, in this case, would be Greg Sankey. So I'm sure if Jeremy wanted to come back to Alabama, and he has expressed interest from the people I've talked to, and he would accept even a non-defensive coordinator job if it meant he got back into the – to Alabama, it would have to be blessed by Sankey. That's just the way those things sort of work. And I don't think Nick – I don't know. I'm not going to presume to guess for Nick Saban. I don't think he would go against Sankey at this point in his career, but he would certainly want Sankey to give his thumbs up on that hire.
Aaron, all I can offer is I asked Greg Sankey that question point blank 2 years ago at a forum in relation to Hugh Freeze.
Right.
And he made it clear that he cannot and will not stop a coach from going from a school to school. And as you alluded, it's ultimately up to the coach and the program. He can give an opinion, though, which he obviously did in that case.
Yeah, and that's sort of what I think that Nick Saban would ask. You know, and here's the thing, who knows what's going to happen with Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee, and that thing could get messy. He feels he's still owed a buyout. Tennessee's pretty adamant that they're not going to pay it. So if this thing ends up in court, you know, who knows where that takes place. But, you know, Jeremy Pruitt is, you know, I think still under contract for another year with the Giants. So would the SEC say, no, you can't come be an analyst? I don't think they would prevent a guy from being an analyst because it would cause less waves. It's a less forward-facing position than an on-the-field assistant coach. But I think a lot of that's yet to be determined and could be determined in the next month or so.
Great stuff, Aaron Suttles. Really appreciate it. Fantastic segment. Could Jeremy Pruitt be returning to Alabama? We'll take a break. Chew on that one and come right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Ian is up next. Good afternoon, Ian.
Yeah, how are you today, sir?
We are doing well, thank you.
Yeah, and I actually just want to say, I want to give a huge shout-out to the Alabama coaching staff, and most of all, Bryce Young. He played one hell of a game against a good Georgia defense. He tried his best, and it looked like he had the fight in his heart. I want to also give my condolences to Jameson Williams. I really hope he recovers from his ACL tear and won't be able to play for a good NFL team.
Well, I think we all feel that way. Well, thank you so much for calling. You take care of yourself. Clark is up next in Georgia. Hey, Clark.
How you doing, Paul?
Clark, we are doing great. Thank you.
I'm from Blackshear, Georgia, home of the mailman.
All right.
I've just got a little story to tell you. Back in 2016, I got the kid's first autograph, and people laughed at me. And I have kept my mouth shut all these years. But all I got to say, who's laughing now, Waycross, Georgia? Who's laughing now, Jessup, Georgia? You know, that's all I got to say. Mailman delivered. Go, you hairy dogs.
You hairy dogs. I don't know. Are they all hairy? Dana is in Knoxville. Hey, Dana.
Hey, how's it going, sir?
We are doing great.
Good. A comment and a question, sir.
Sure.
You know, with Legend, hats off to him. He humbled himself, and I think he sincerely meant it. It's hard to do that, especially, you know, sometimes life is that way, and I admire him for it. I don't know about the Alabama part, but hats off to him. And what do you think about Coach Harper?
I think she is doing a fabulous job, and I'm not remotely surprised. That was a great hire. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We had to squeeze a quick segment in there because I went way too long with Aaron Suttles, but I wanted to hear everything he had to say. We have another hour to go, and we hope you will stay right where you are.